Text number 40. Mahisha Uchu,
Mahisha Uchu,
Bhamam Nihatya Saganam Yudite Naruda,
Bhamam Nihatya Saganam Yudite
Naruda, Bhamam Nihatya Saganam Yudite Naruda, Yatvadana Chiti Jaye Chita Raja Kanya Yatvadana Chiti Jaye Chita Raja Kanya
Yatvadana Chiti Jaye Chita Raja
Kanya Nimucha Samstrit Vimosham Anusmaranti Nimucha Samsriti Vimosham Anusmaranti
Nimucha Samsriti Vimosham Anusmaranti
Padambujam Parininayaya Aptakama
Padambujam Parininayaya
Padambujam Parininayaya Aptakama
Padambujam Parininayaya
Mahisha Uchu
Mahisha Uchu
Balmam Nihatya Saganam Yudite Naruda
Balmam Nihatya Saganam Yudite Naruda
Yatvatana Shiti Jaye Jita Raja Kanya
Yatvatana Shiti Jaye Jita Raja Kanya
Nimucha Samsriti Vimosha Manusmaranti Padambujam Parininayaya Aptakama
Padambujam Parininayaya Aptakama
Any brave soul?
Yeah.
After killing Bhaumasura and his followers, the Lord found us in the demon's prison and could understand that we were the daughters of the kings whom Bhauma had defeated during his conquest of the earth. The Lord set us free, and because we have been constantly meditating upon his lotus feet, the source of liberation from material entanglement, he agreed to marry us, although his every desire is already fulfilled. Rohini Devi was one of the nine queens questioned by Draupadi in text 6 and 7, and thus it is assumed that she speaks here, representing the 16,099 other queens. Srila Prabhupada confirms this in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mahisha Uchu, Bhaumam Nihatya Saganam Yuditena Ruddha Gatvatajnashiti Jaye Jiti Rajapanya Nimucha Samsriti Vimoksham Anusmaranti Padandujam Parininaya Yaptakama. Translation again. Rohini Devi, speaking for the other queens, said, after killing Bhaumasura and his followers, the Lord found us in the demon's prison and could understand that we were the daughters of the kings whom Bhauma had defeated during his conquest of the earth. The Lord set us free, and because we have been constantly meditating upon his lotus feet, the source of liberation from material entanglement, he agreed to marry us, although his every desire is already fulfilled. Hamma gyana timrandasya gnanjana salakaya japsumanitam yena tasmai shri garuve namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadadane Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivise Sasanyavari Pasichari Shatamine. It's interesting actually to see how actually
when the ladies or even just the grihasthas come together, inevitably they will ask, how do you meet? How do you get married? Of course, when we discuss, at least among the grihasthas, how they got married or how they met, it's nothing as close to as spectacular as how Krishna married his queens. The eight individually, and then at one shot, 16,100 princesses after conquering over demons and armies and shooting the eye of a fish, just looking at the water reflection on the water, taming seven wild raging bulls in the Swayamvara ceremony. So, because anything Krishna do is very spectacular. What we do is just nothing but just a reflection, tiny reflection of what Krishna can do. So, at the incident that Rohini Devi, who is speaking on behalf of the 16,099 queens, was that there was this demon Vamasura who conquered the earth and the kings and took prisoners all these princesses. He was so obnoxious that he even stole the umbrella from the throne of Varuna and the earrings of Aditi, the mother of the demigods. He also took over the portion of Mount Meru, and of course Lord Indra was very disturbed by it, so he went to Krishna and complained to him. So Krishna took up the cause of the demigods, and with such a Vama on the back of Garuda, they flew to the city of Vamasura. Now the city of Vamasura is not an ordinary city. It's very well fortified. As Prabhupada said in the Krishna book, they say it's so well fortified even by today's standard. First, it was four forts surrounding the city and guarded by very strong military strength. Then there's a very deep moat with water that nobody can get through. And then there's electric fences, somewhat like a prison. Electric fences. And then there's an area where this gas, very poisonous gas for Anila, anyone can just breathe, they'll die. And then another layer of protection with barbed wires. So Krishna, when he came, then he just smashed all of it to pieces with his clubs and Sudarshan Chakra. So with the Sudarshan Chakra, he just nullified the electric fence and flew over the moat and the gas. Of course, this woke up the Mura demon who created that defense, and he came up with his five heads roaring like lions and attacked Krishna. Of course, then Krishna sent him off to the court of Yamaraj. Then also killed many of the soldiers. Finally, Vamasura came. Vamasura was a very, very powerful demon, and he attacked Krishna. He also tried to attack Garuda. And in the end, Krishna also finished him off very easily. For Krishna, it was like going on a picnic. He took his wife with him to conquer, to fight the demons. Usually, when you go and fight a war, you bring an army. You don't bring your wife. But Krishna brought his wife. And the Vamasura was actually the son of the earth personified. So after Vamasura was killed, all the relatives were very distraught, and the earth personified Bhumi came, offered prayers to Krishna, and she returned the items that were stolen by Vamasura, the umbrella and the earrings. And she also brought before her the son of Vamasura, Bhagadatta. And said that now this son is very disturbed and fearful because his father is killed, so please give him shelter. And Krishna assured him, he said, you don't have to worry, nothing to fear. Krishna, he never rejects anyone. Anyone who comes to take shelter of Krishna, Krishna always gives shelter. That's why Krishna is Ashraya. And then he entered the palace and he found all these princesses there. And that's another instance of how Krishna gave shelter to his devotees. See, these princesses, at least in cultured family, very culture, even certain part of Asia, the girls never leave home. What to say of staying overnight in someone's house? So these girls, they've been taken out from their parents' home, taken out from the protection of the father, and they stay at home even though he's in the prison for so long, nobody would marry them. So the girls, obviously, they were in a very distressful condition. First of all, to be imprisoned against their wish, taken away against their wish. And it's not that they were very eager to marry Bhamasura, but they don't have very much options left, because who else would marry them? But because the devotees, they were meditating on Krishna, and taking shelter of Krishna, always remembering Krishna, Krishna came and rescued them. And understanding the situation, understanding their heart, that all these princesses in their heart, when they saw Krishna, they just want to marry Krishna and no one else. And they offered their heart to Krishna in an unalloyed devotion. And Krishna understood them and he accepted all of them. So only Krishna could do that. Who could have just taken on such responsibility? Everyone knows, even just one wife is already quite a big responsibility. Krishna has so many wives. Sometimes people, they make comments that, oh, Krishna is so lucky, has so many wives. Prabhupada once said, he may be lusty, but he's supremely lusty. What are you going to do about that? But the fact is, he was able to provide for all of them. He sent them back on the palanquin back to Dwaraka. He still had business to do. He went to the heavenly planets and returned the items back to Varuna, to the earrings back to Aditi. And now, of course, one of the reasons why Krishna brought Satyabhama along was once Narada Muni brought a Parijata flower from the heavenly planet and gave to Rukmini. So, Satyabhama also wanted such a flower because it's very fragrant. So there was a bit of a rivalry there between the wives, a competition. And Krishna understood that, so he took Satyabhama to the heavenly planet. Do you want the Parijata flower? Take it. Why only take one flower? Take the whole plant. So Satyabhama took out the plant, of course the demigods. It's interesting actually how Krishna has defeated Bhamasura, returned the items back to the demigods, and he's just taking one plant, and the demigods make an issue out of it. They try to stop Krishna from taking the plant. And of course Krishna easily defeated them. He came back and married all his wives, all these princesses, and has a palace for each one of them. The marriage was taking place in each one of the 16,100 palaces simultaneously. So this is an instance of how Krishna also, when one is in a whatever situation, if you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna never lets the devotee down. In fact, for Arjuna, You declare very boldly, Kaunteya Pradijanihi, Nami Bhakta Panashati. So my devotee never perishes. Krishna gave his promise. In fact, he gave his promise through his devotee. So sometimes people may think, I may be very tricky. They may not trust. They told Arjuna, you declare it. In order to protect Arjuna, he was willing to break his promise not to fight in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When Arjuna was very much tormented by the arrows of Bhishma Dev, he was in great danger. Krishna got down from the chariot, picked up a broken wheel, and was going to attack Bhishma Dev. Arjuna was holding on to him and said, no, my Lord, don't. You promised not to fight. No, if you take up weapons, then nobody will believe you anymore. And Krishna was willing to break his promise in order to protect his devotees. But of course, by divine arrangement, the sun set, and that was the aim of that promise was kept. Arjuna was protected. But he was willing to go to that extent just to protect his devotees. But unfortunately, people, they do not understand. They do not understand that Krishna is the supreme shelter. They take shelter of so many things. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Durashraya yevahi atmanina. Durashraya, the opposite of ashraya. Forced shelter. In the material, we take shelter of so many things, thinking that they will give us protection. Deha patya palapadis apna sanyasa sasvi. Tesam pramata nidana prashanapi napasati. Shukadeva Goswami said, we take shelter of the body, thinking my body will give me protection. I will do weightlifting, strong, big muscles. And I'm going to look like a gorilla. it's amazing. I think I told this story once. When we were in Copenhagen, one time the temple was very near to the park and the zoo, just a few minutes walk to the zoo. So one day I decided on a nice spring morning, sunny, just after the long winter in Scandinavia. So let's go to the zoo and have a japa walk. Took some devotees, some brahmachari with me, we went. Then we came to this cage where the gorillas were, and they came. And they were showing off. And then one of the brahmachari started laughing. He started laughing. And I thought, that's so funny. He's exactly like those guys in the gym. I used to go to the gym. They're exactly like those people in the gym. They stand in front of the mirrors and do the different things. And it was exactly like what the gorillas were doing. They think, I'm so strong, this will give me protection. Or they will kick and they chop. Karate or taekwondo or whatever martial they learn. I told this once many years ago when I was in Malaysia, I was reading a newspaper article. There was this burglar who came into a house and to steal, and he woke up the owner of the house, and it turned out to be a seventh dan karate master. Seventh dan, can you imagine how many years he spent training? So he woke up and he said, and the burglar just boom, it was done, finished. All his years of training, he didn't have much. Just one shot, and they are with him. Deha. We think it can give protection. And the wife, husband thinks the wife will give me protection. I work hard, people say so many nasty things, hard day, come home, my wife will give me some sweet words. But the wife is thinking my husband will give me protection. The divorce rate is staggering. And the children, they will give me protection when they grow up. Very often in the Western world, when kids, they just can't wait until they're 16 and say, adios, amigo, bye-bye, sayonara, and they're off. How many, when you go Sankirtan, for example, door-to-door, How often we come to home with just lonely old people, singles, very pathetic. I remember we had a Sankirtan flat in Copenhagen, and every time we come to the flat, we see this old lady just sitting by the window, just looking out the window. All day, they're just sitting by the window. So where's the shelter? And the bank balance, you can give the shelter. Our house, our property, so on and so forth. Oh, our pension fund. Is that in America you have the Medicare, Medicaid? And what was the other one? Here is Medicare. You have a pension fund, but I don't know if everyone knows, it's completely broke. The pension fund is a retirement fund. It's, I don't know how many hundreds of millions or trillions in debts. So people think they work all their life. I have my superannuation. This will give me protection. So this is the illusion. So Sukadeva Goswami said, this is just asat, this false shelter, this fallible soldiers. They look good on paper, but in reality, it doesn't give any protection. It's just like when I first came to Germany in 1976, there was the height of the Cold War between the Warsaw Pact and NATO. And then America, they started putting all these missiles, and so many soldiers were stationed there in Germany. But we know for a fact, every weekend, and there was even a newspaper report, every weekend the NATO soldiers were so drunk and so high on drugs, if the Warsaw Pact would attack, they don't even know where to point their weapons. But on paper there's so many tanks, so many planes, so much missiles and all that. But there's no real protection. So there's no real protection in the material world. It's just illusory. Durasha, false shelter. We think, it's even in mind, Durasha, Yavali, Atamanina. Only in the mind, we think the shelter. It's like going out in the rain. So don't worry, I don't need an umbrella. I have an umbrella. In the mind, we have an umbrella. But that's not going to prevent us from getting wet. So the real shelter is Krishna. Only Krishna can give shelter. As the saying, I think Bengali saying, if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can kill you. Krishna wants to kill you. Rakhi Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rakhi Kane. If Krishna wants to protect you, no one can harm you. And if Krishna wants to harm you, kill you, nobody can protect. Doesn't matter. Even Hiranyakashipu, getting a benediction, I cannot be killed by this, I cannot be killed by that, so on and so forth. In the end, Krishna still found a way to kill him. On the other hand, Pralad, just a small child, he dare face up to the most powerful demon in existence. So powerful he conquered the demigods, not just conquered the demigods were shaking in fear. But Pralad, he was able to face up to Hiranyakashipu because he took full shelter. So much so that when Nrisimhadeva wants to offer in prayer, he said, I don't feel any problem. I didn't have any problem. Naivodhitya paradurati vaiparanyas paviyaya gayana mahamita nacheta sacheta to vimukha cheta sa indriyata maya sukaya udvahato vimutha. He said, although I'm in the material world, I didn't feel any disturbance. I didn't feel any problem. Although Hiranyakashipu caused him so much problems. He said, because my consciousness is always absorbed in hearing, chanting about you. Therefore, I'm not at all disturbed. I'm only disturbed by all these fools and rascals, removed, taking shelter of love, friendship, society in this material world, thinking that they will give them protection, thinking they will give them any shelter. False shelter. So you have to understand. Yes, we may have wealth, we may have spouse, we may have children. Alright. But ultimately, we have to consider that ultimately it's only Krishna who can give shelter. All these other are temporary. Everything else is temporary in this material world. We never know when it's going to be finished. Sometimes we make plans. We may live a long life. We have plans of 5 years plans, 10 years plans, 20 years plans. I'm young. Old age, death is only meant for the old. No. Yesterday I was just looking through Dandava and there was this story of this one young boy, teenager, who just passed away in the Ganges. Just with a few friends on the boat diving into the Ganges. And he was a strong swimmer. And his friends with the friends encouraged, come on, let's do it, do it, do it. And he just dived in, got swept away by the Ganges. Teenager. Of course, there maybe something special is between, you know, Krishna wants the devotee back, but in any case, who would have thought young man, just at the prime of his age, of his life, taken away. But in the case of devotees, of course, devotee who surrendered, and they're taken away, Krishna's, and Krishna taking them away. Krishna wants them back. Otherwise, what is the shelter? Look around in society. Where's the shelter? Sometimes people in very desperate situation, just like when there's, I think it was in the 80s, early 80s, when the stock exchange crashed. A lot of people that lost a lot of money, they were so distraught because they were taking shelter of all this money. I think all this money is going to give me shelter. You know, I have my bank balance, I have my shares and everything. And then suddenly it's gone. From one day to the other, it's gone. And people became so distraught, people jumping off their skyscrapers, jumping off offices, committing suicide. Or some people, yeah, that's why there's so high suicide rates in developed countries. All these modern developed countries have some of the highest suicide rates in the world. And if material facilities, a material sense gratification is actually bringing people happiness, give people shelter. Why is there such a high percentage of suicide rate? Why are these people not happy? Why are they so distressed that they have to commit suicide? It's because they take shelter of temporary, mature things, fallible things. And when that is taken away, they don't know where to look for shelter. And they thought, this is the end. My life is wasted, useless. But for a devotee, especially when he's in a difficult situation, you know, let me take shelter of Krishna. Sometimes, for the devotee to be in a difficult situation is a blessing. When we're in a very comfortable situation, often we slack. We slack off, we take it easy, and we think, everything is going to be fine. It's a nice sunny day, everything is going to be alright. I'm doing great, I'm doing fine. And we forget Krishna. But when we're in a difficult situation, often it's easier to remember Krishna. Therefore, it's also a blessing. So, therefore, Queen Kunti, she prays after the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was going to leave. And Queen Kunti offered prayers. He said before, when all these kings were there, all these dangers were there, you were always present. And now they've been removed. And you are leaving us. He prayed, let all these calamities happen again and again. Because then we'll always remember you. She was praying for calamities. Usually we pray, Krishna, please remove all my problems. I do not want any problems. But Queen Kunti was praying for a problem, praying for calamities, because then they will always remember you. Isn't that, for example, when you're out preaching? Yeah, Bhakti situation, I'm preaching. Isn't it so much easier to remember Krishna? And as soon as you just forget Krishna, bam, you get hit. As soon as you forget, you think, I'm so good. Why? Tomorrow, when I come to the temple after greeting, they're going to read my scores. I'm the big distributor. And as soon as you think like that, you get hit. Ah! Heavy one. So it helps us when we put ourselves in this situation of the unknown. You really don't know what's going to happen when you're on the street. When you're preaching, you don't know who you're going to meet. The guy walking down the street in a suit and a tie looks very harmless. You look like someone who's going to pick a book. And you approach, and he's the nastiest person you've ever met. You don't know. You are really exposing ourselves. And exposing ourselves for Krishna's sake means we have to be completely dependent on Krishna. Completely take shelter of Krishna, depend on His protection. It's a very vulnerable situation if you think about it. But actually, that's the most protected situation. We think what is vulnerable actually is the safest position. But because of lifetimes of conditioning, even though we read in the books, we hear so many times, again and again and again, Krishna is the only shelter. Often we just forget that I want my situation to be secure, everything set up. The key word nowadays, even for the devotees, now is security. I want security. So, yes, we can make arrangements. It's not that we just throw it to the winds. We have to take care of things. But ultimately, we have to understand Krishna is our shelter. Doesn't matter what we do, what we have, what we don't have. Krishna is the only one who can protect. And this is one of some of the principles of surrender. The six principles of surrender to Krishna. Sometimes you ask, what does it mean, surrender to Krishna? The of course, a very blunt answer is, if someone put a gun to your head, say, just walk, don't think too much, that's surrender. But the six principles of surrender is accepting everything favorable for devotional service and rejecting everything that is unfavorable for devotional service. To have those, there are no other shelter than the shelter of Krishna. I probably gave the example of the Chataka bird. The Chataka bird, he flies, he will only take water from the clouds. Even when it's thirsty, he will not come down to the ground to get water. So sometimes the clouds may be raining, sometimes the clouds may be giving thunder. Still, the Chataka bird will just stay out there, just taking only water from the clouds. Like a child, a small child. Sometimes the child may be naughty and the parents may be angry with the child and push the child away. The child will keep coming back, holding on. Because there's no other shelter. The child has no other shelter than the parents. This is the only shelter. So that's the devotee. The devotee has no other shelter. Doesn't matter what happened. But just keep coming back, holding on to Krishna's service. And be always feeling the protection of Krishna. That was never fearful. The devotee is Sai Prabhupada's name, Abhay. Abhay Charanaravinda. Govinda Das is singing the song, Bajohuri Mana, Srinanda Nandana, Abhay Charanaravinda, Vindarek. It's free from all fear. Because you feel the protection of Krishna. Krishna is protecting. And always depending on the mercy of Krishna. Whatever Krishna gives, that's His mercy. It's all mercy of Krishna. I think I told this story once, it's one of my favorite stories. There was this king. He has a minister as a devotee of Krishna. Anything happened, he would just say, it's all Krishna's mercy. Anything come, the king asks him something, he says, it's all Krishna's mercy. And one time the king lost a finger. He said, why? I'm a good devotee, why I lost my finger? And the minister said, this is all Krishna's mercy. And the king didn't like that. He was upset. So he said, so the guards throw him into prison. Let's see what he has to say. They throw him into prison and say, now minister, what do you have to say? This is all Krishna's mercy. So the king thought, maybe gone a little cuckoo, you know. They throw him into prison and still think it's Krishna's mercy. So one day the king went out to the forest hunting. And he was attacked by the forest tribe. And they captured him and took him back to their village. And actually they were looking for animal to be sacrificed. So they prepared a human sacrifice. So they prayed the king, washed him up, and put him on the altar for sacrifice. And the priest came and checked him up. He said, let's check if this sacrificial lamb is fit for offering. And they found that one finger was missing. They said, oh, this is not fit for offering. It's incomplete. Release him. So the king was completely shaken up, came back, said, release the minister. So I'm very, very sorry, minister, please forgive me. Now I can understand why it was Krishna's mercy that I lost my finger. Otherwise I would have lost my life. And he said, but there's one thing I cannot understand. You are such a great devotee. There's so much faith in the Lord. Why did he put you in this situation that you have to be locked up in a jail? And the minister said, don't you understand? See, I'm your minister, close advisor. Wherever you go, I go. When you get captured, I also get captured. When they find that you are not fit, they'll find that I will be fit. So isn't it Krishna's mercy that I got locked up? And only you went up. Such faith, very advanced. And of course, we always remain meek and humble. So these are the six principles of surrender that we should strive for. And we thought of surrendering to Krishna, this is what we're striving for. These principles. And then as we progress, we realize through life experience how Krishna protects us in so many situations. So many devotees have this experience. I always remember the devotees who were the early devotees in Russia, in the Soviet Union, how they were put through so many difficulties, yet somehow the survivors obvious, thrown into psychiatric hospitals, labor camps, all kinds of torture, and they still managed. I remember even when I went there for one week, I spent 1 week there. And I mentioned before, the environment is very thick. It's the environment is so thick with fear. Still, when I was walking with the devotees, they were like doing different maneuvers, walk here, walk there, and almost like straight out from a spy movie. This is how I first met them when I came in transit. Just call up a number and say, I'm in Moscow, can I meet you up for a few hours? He said, yes. You come into St. Basil's Cathedral where the Kremlin is. Just stand there and I'll come and meet you. I'll be wearing a long dark coat. It was in the middle of winter, January. I'll be holding a newspaper on my left arm. So I was just standing there, you know, with my wife waiting for him. And I said, okay. He just passed by. Just follow me. Don't look anywhere. I just follow. Follow you walking. The shop came up there. far out experience. Went in the bus, came off the bus, came back in, and then took another bus. And then finally we arrived in the flat. And it was like 30, 40 devotees waiting. So it was a first phase of preaching in the Soviet Union. So I came back and I told the regional secretary at that time, Peter Rush, and I said that was very far out, you know. And passed on the word, and the next thing I know, I was going there for 1 week. And you can actually feel Krishna was protecting. Once we were stopped by the police in the car, the police car, and then we had these two Armenian devotees there. And they said, "Don't worry, just sit there." They ran off, haggled with the police, and they came and said, "No problem, they can go now." And on the last day, I was there, I did a program, and after the program, the devotees said, just very nonchalant, you know, there was a KGB informer there in the in the room. I freaked out, completely freaked out. I said, "What? Now what are you telling me? Why didn't you tell me earlier?" He said, "If we tell you earlier, you'll be too freaked out." So he's telling me earlier. And the next day at the airport, they stopped. From everything, check everything. But somehow they just let me go. And the interesting thing was, I was thinking, what is Nishinagiri's plan now? What leela is he trying to play now? So somehow when you just absorb in the preaching or surrender to the preaching, you just somehow you just feel protected by Krishna. You don't have that fear. And you think, okay, let's see what Krishna is up to now. Let's see how he's going to get me out of this situation. It is not a situation where you just carelessly put yourself into. We're not recommending that. But we're saying in the course of our service to Krishna, we may have to take risks. We may have to do different things for the sake of Krishna. Or even not just risks, but just in our daily life. Just trying to surrender to Krishna and trying to take shelter of Krishna, you feel how Krishna is actually protecting us in so many different situations. And these are the experiences that we want to have. These are the experiences that give us the realization that Krishna consciousness is not just the theory anymore. These are real life experiences. Krishna exists. Krishna is there. And when Krishna promised that he protect us, he will. And why? How do we know? Because we experience it. We have been recipients of that close that mercy. We have been recipients of that protection. This is what we want to experience in our Krishna consciousness. It's not just theory. So when we have these experiences, sometimes we may go through difficult times. Devotional life can be a roller coaster sometimes. Because the point is that we are in a material world, and most of material nature is very strong. And sometimes we are a bit not careful and we just get flawed by the most of material nature. We don't know what to do. So these experiences will give us strong and faithful on the part of Krishna consciousness. That yes, maybe I'm experiencing this now, but I know Krishna is real. He's not just a mythological figure. He is real, and he will protect me, as he said. He will give me strength. He will take care of me. All I have to do, whatever I do, I have to do it in the mood of surrender to Krishna. Just like a princess. Princesses here, they were in a very difficult situation, taken away from their home. No one would marry them. But then Krishna they took shelter of Krishna, and Krishna gave all of them shelter. All 16,100 of them. No worry. Marry all of them. Thank you very much. Are there any comments? No questions? Shri Prabhupada ki jai.